lesson 4. Short notes taken to assist in the understanding. This one is mainly on the meditation. There is a sister Lim that asks, Brother Teo, according to your earlier short note, you said, whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the four foundations of mindfulness and finally to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life through heedfulness, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then how about those Mahayana practitioners who constantly chant the Buddha's name? Is that meditation? Or did they do the wrong meditation? So we have gone through this. So hopefully, if you have read through to develop the understanding, then you will understand. Anyway, I will read to you the recorded transcript. I reply, what do you think? It will be a good discussion topic because most people, especially Theravada tradition, they are quite puzzled and at times confused. They used to say, how can they just chant the Buddha's name, like the Pure Land tradition. They just chant, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. Then they can become enlightened. It's like too good to be true, isn't it? But they don't understand the deep meaning and implication behind Pure Land tradition and teaching. Some they chant Namo Kuan Yin Pu Sa. Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa. So there are various four how that you can chant. So what's wrong with that? We have to inquire, is that meditation? To them, the Pure Land tradition, it is meditation. Because somehow, all those people who don't understand, they cannot relate it back to the four foundations of mindfulness. So what is your answer? So that day, I think, Sister Monica answered, very well answered. He said, chanting is just another object of meditation or a skillful means that one used to train the mind, just like Buddha or Anapanasati, or any method or technique to anchor and to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful. So if you understand, then it is no different, because the Thai tradition also use Buddha, understand not? Some they use Samarahang, just to anchor the mind, to train the mind. Then I replied, very good. Just like what Sister Monica had explained, it is just another object of meditation. It's just one of the skillful means that you use to train your mind. Just like Ajahn Adnan used Buddha, the mind that is not trained is heedless, hence not peaceful. But a lot of people who teach meditation, they never explain that to you. They just tell you, you must do this, you must do that. Then you just gullibly do. You do without understanding. That's why it's very difficult for you all to progress. So in the early days, I think most of you all are caught in all this, so-called meditation instruction. Then some of them will complain, I've been chanting the Buddha's name for so long. Why is there still no progress? The reason is they chant not from their heart, but like parenting. And the faith of Sada is not there. So this brings us to a Zen story. In China, there was an old lady who every time chants the Buddha's name, Amitabha. She chants until very loud, until all the neighborhood also know. That chanting is disturbing to most of them. Then there was an old man who stayed nearby, and he was already enlightened, this old man. And from the chanting, he knew that this lady is still not mindful, and her faith lacking, because she still doesn't understand what chanting is all about. She just chant because she was told to chant. It's like parenting. You know what is parenting? It means chanting is not from your heart, and it was done without the sadha or faith and understanding. So the vibration is too loud and it lacks mindfulness. It is just like in school, when you are disciplined by the teacher, when you make mistake, he will force you to write, "I must not talk in class," and you're supposed to repeat 400 times, then submit that worksheet. Because you are very angry, so you just write them. But you never get the message. So this chanting was quite similar. The old man who was already enlightened, and he is very good, so he purposely go and knock on the door. Knock, 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 and knock. Until this old lady got so fed up, she stopped chanting and went to the door. When she was at the door, the old man was already gone. She opened the door and there was nobody. So she went back in and chanted again. Then the old man came again and repeated the knocking. She stopped chanting again and go out to open the door. And again, there was no one there. Then when the old man went there and knocked for the third time, this old lady was already very fed up and angry. So she immediately stopped and rushed to the door and opened it. This time the old man was there, and she scolded that old man. "What are you trying to do? Do you know that this is very annoying and can lead to very, very bad karma?" She said, "I'm chanting and meditating, but you keep on coming to knock on the door and disturb my chanting." Then the old man just looked at her and smiled. Then this old lady felt strange and reflected. Why, after she had scolded this old man, yet he still smiled at her? You know what the old man told her? He said to her, "Didn't it occur to you? I just came to knock on your door 3 times, and you are already so angry and upset." The old lady replied, "Because you are disturbing me." Then the old man said, "Likewise, when you chant without understanding, you are actually disturbing others with every moment of your chanting." Then the old lady realized that he was not mindful when she was chanting. That she did not do it with understanding because she lacked faith. So this was the Zen story which showed us how the enlightened old man teaches this old lady. So coming back to the question, it is the same. Just like what Monica said, the chanting is only one of the method or technique used to anchor your mind. But Pure Land type of chanting is more than that. Because in the Pure Land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to the great vows of these Buddhas and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith to connect to their vow. Their vow are very heavy, and because of their virtue, their wisdom, and their perfection, all this vow can actually become part of nature's law. So it will manifest and respond on their own. Understand or not? You don't need to have the Buddha all over the place or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva all over the place to listen to you and respond. No, because it's a nature's law. Understand or not? Like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's great vow, he said, "Whoever who call upon her forehow or name with faith and sincerity, there will be a response." Then if you know how to connect, it will connect you to their nature. Then you will benefit from their nature. Because the Buddha and the Bodhisattva, great vow. If you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with very strong faith, it will help you to develop a very strong affinity with them. And that faith and affinity will connect you to their vow. And their vow will bring forth the condition to assist you to progress along the path of Dhamma and help you develop the five spiritual faculties needed for you to develop the meditation. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, chanting, and chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be mindful, heedful. We are mindfulness of the Buddha's name. The faith in the Buddha's name will arise, the strong saddha, or confidence, due to the repeated chanting with understanding, leading to the virya, which is spiritual zeal. Then together with sati, develop via chanting. When you chant until no one is chanting, until the awareness and the vibration become one, understand not? Means it is just aware of the chanting. There is no one to be aware. The awareness is just aware of the chanting that arises. Then sati is developed. The faith in the Buddha's name will arise a very strong saddha, leading to the virya, and together with the sati, develop via chanting. Then they also do walking and bowing, which is reverential salutation. It will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind, which is the meditative silent mind without thought, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. So when sati and samadhi is there, every moment of their daily living, because they hold that chanting, that mantra with faith, and they do it diligently through the virya, then the sati build up. That's why after that, every moment of their seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness, they are very different. They have clarity within, understand? When your spiritual faculty is there, your heedlessness no more because the five hindrances is gone. Then whenever they see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel all things, their mind is different, understand? There is clarity. No more heedless thinking, no more the hindrance. So that clarity give rise to the condition for them to understand truth. Then it's like they see things as they are. No more with the heedless thinking, no more with the conditioned mind, no more with the views and opinion and the egoic mind. The thought does not interfere. So that direct seeing will lead to awakening, understanding, wisdom. So that's why they can also become enlightened. They will see the dependent origination within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. Then they will start to see what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. Then they will see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Why the Buddha called them evil roots. Then the seven factors of enlightenment. Then how the sense basis actually, upon contact, trigger off the appropriate consciousness. Then when consciousness arises because they have this sati and samadhi, they can understand how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging, attachment, and how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and aware, they come to know how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then later on, when they just silent and aware, how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance come to be. then how through non-delusion all this become possible. So they will cultivate Satipatthana, four foundation mindfulness, because they have the spiritual faculty developed. So this is how pure land chanting can also bring about meditation leading to enlightenment. Okay, now I will continue. You turn to page 2. Page 2 is at the back. You have to go by the numbering again. Okay, you go to page 2, behind. Last paragraph. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful. We are mindfulness of the Buddha's name to develop the spiritual faculty. So when they are able to develop the spiritual faculty, it will bring forth the sati and samadhi, or mindfulness and stability of mind needed to develop the clear seeing, which is the meditative mind or the silent mind without thought, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, hence completing the five spiritual faculty. Then next page. To develop the meditation, we need this five spiritual faculty. And then we need to understand what is meditation. And why are we not peaceful most of the time, heedless? According to the Buddha, there are these five mental hindrances that hinders us from becoming peaceful and mindful. And they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. These five mental hindrances, you don't go and find them. You don't go and worry about them. Then how do you overcome them? You have to inquire, what did the Buddha said? What must you cultivate? Yes, the opposite five spiritual faculty, which are sadda, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. And their English equivalent are faith, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual zeal, or tenacity to walk this way, mindfulness, collectedness of mind, and the unwavering mind, plus wisdom. If you have these five spiritual faculty developed, then the five mental hindrances will cease. Because these five spiritual faculty are the one that can overcome and counter the mental hindrances. Then you can meditate because these are spiritual faculty and no more hindrance. It will then support your meditation instead of hindering it. So when you have faith, your mind is full of confidence, composed and very calm. Hence no more restlessness and doubt. And when there is virya, there is no more sleepiness or sloth and torpor. Because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then when you have sati, you are no longer heedless. You are mindful. You are always aware and your mind is always with the moment in sati. And when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. Then it can see things as they are, to understand the truth, the reality leading to the wisdom. Once the five spiritual faculties are cultivated, you will automatically know how to meditate. That's why when they chant and chant and chant until the four how, or the Buddha's name and the awareness become one, that is mind and the chanting become one. This one refers to the true mind, the pure awareness. When the mind and the chanting become one, there is no one to chant. It's just the pure awareness that is aware of the chanting, of the words, of the vibration. Understand not? There is no one to be aware, understand not? Because the essence of mind is already aware. The awareness is just awareness, understand not? Like when you pay attention, attentiveness, there is no one there. It's just a silent mind that is attentive and aware. At that time, you will be very different, because the five spiritual faculties that are so stable will transform you. Then throughout the day, even when you are not chanting the Buddha's name, you will also have that type of mind with the spiritual faculties. Actually, it will like chant by itself. There are many people who had done it in the past. They experience this. After they hear the chanting, later on, the chanting will arise by itself within your brain. You don't have to chant. It will come out. You don't chant also, it will be there. Because in the early days, about 20 plus years ago, I came to understand that in the past, I had done this type of chanting before. Because I remember I got this Pure Land chanting tape from Ramananda at Sister Sumitra. This tape was very unique, because even though it was about the enlightenment teaching of the most venerable Master Quang Ching Lao He Sang, a very famous Pure Land practitioner. But behind the talk, there was this very soothing and continuous chanting of Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. Very clear, in its background. So as I listened to that tape many times, and because of the chanting which was repeated many times on the background, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. That's why I can chant it until it becomes like very clear to me. Then one day while I was driving and chanting, then all of a sudden this chanting just arise from inside my brain. And there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind to listen to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remember initially I was chanting. Then all of a sudden it was like no one is chanting. Then everything stopped. Then somewhere underneath my brain, behind, at the back of the brain, the chanting automatically comes out. And my mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear. It just stayed there, fully aware of the whole thing. That's how I came to know how this type of Pure Land chanting can also develop the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, leading to the wisdom, and how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one to chant, and that the nature within is just aware, fully aware. That thing just repeats itself, and there is just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different. There is no one to chant. Understand not? It is just the mind that is aware of phenomena, whether it is physical or mental or nature's phenomena. In this case, it's a mental phenomena. So all these are possible. And when you have these spiritual faculties developed until it's very stable, then even in the midst of daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and samadhi. You will be able to see your mental intention, your aggregates of mind, means your feeling, your perception, your activity, your emotion, your mind states, and all of your mental intention, etc., including the consciousness. Then you will see your physical and mental flow. And then after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And your wisdom will keep on arising. The four foundations of mindfulness will bring forth the enlightenment. Because finally, the four foundations of mindfulness will lead to the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, the fourth Noble Truth is the Noble Eightfold Path. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it leads you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, it will lead you back to the Four Noble Truths, then back to the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Otherwise, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Hence, if you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Understand not? That chanting is just a technique, a skillful means to train your mind. After that, only the real meditation begins. Understand not? When your spiritual faculty is developed, then the daily mindfulness, the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is the real meditation. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, Samasati is the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is the focus of our discussion, of our this particular series of sharing. So this is important. Otherwise, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Hence, if you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Chanting is just like any other technique, method, or skillful means that you initially use to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculties needed to overcome the mental hindrance. This is how you can progress in your meditation. So now this is very clear. Don't make that mistake again. Understand? That's why I say to do meditation, to train your mind, to cultivate, you must do it with understanding. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. You cannot progress. If you are not focused, you are actually doing without understanding. Thinking that you meditate, you are actually wasting your time. So be very clear about the whole teaching. Means the essence of the Buddha's teaching is Four Noble Truths. From there, all the teachings spin out. Then how he highlights the importance of heedfulness. And you must understand what is heedfulness. That's why the first factor of enlightenment is sati. Without sati, there is no meditation. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, you are as if dead. All these are very clear. Then you connect. Once you are heedful, what must you do? The Buddha said you must go into the four postures, understand? The first category of training, even in the four foundations of mindfulness, Kaya Nupasana, Anapanasati, is just to train the mind to be aware, understand? Then stabilize it and use it to cultivate the four postures leading to daily mindfulness, then only all of the subsequent four foundations of mindfulness training and cultivation. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you just debate and debate and debate. Because living beings are gullible. They think meditation is some fantasy and etc. Very, very mystical. Then when they meditate and develop some form of experience that people don't experience, they think this is very special. And then they attach, they cling. Then they want to know, is this a sign that I have achieved, realized? That's how you debate, because you don't understand what is your focus. Why are you there meditating, and what is meditation? When you don't have a clear understanding of what you do, you end up keep on debating. Then you keep on having fantasy about meditation. That's how many cultivator, so-called meditator, got trapped. And the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is, because sati is beyond thought. So if you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, all of thought-based meditation will not bring you the meditative result that you are looking for. Because what you want to realize, the Dhamma, is akaliko. Akaliko means this Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if your instrument is thought, you cannot reach it. You are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this, I think it should be very clear by now that you shouldn't make the same mistake again. And now you start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past. Meditation has to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instruction. Like the Buddha told the Kalamas, you don't believe what the spiritual teacher tell you. Even Buddha himself, you have to investigate and find out. Then when you find out and understand, then you are very clear, your mind very different, then you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you become gullible. Then you debate. Okay, is this now very clear? Good. Anybody still got any question or doubt? Yes, Chui. Pass the mic to her.
Brother Teo, I'm afraid I have to ask this somewhat simple question. Sati, is it in Pali means mindfulness or awareness? Because I see the word being used interchangeably, and sometimes I just get... Can you please explain again? Thank you.
Okay, very good question. You see, Sati is a Pali word. Anasana. Sati. It's translated as mindfulness. Okay? Very commonly accepted. But nobody really inquire into this word. Why mindful? Then why they use the word mindfulness? Means what? There are two words. Mind in fullness. Okay? But you never inquire, you never ask, what does this mean? So let's say now we start. The commentator, the translator says sati is mindfulness. Okay? So from the English word, you can conclude, isn't it? Equals to mind in fullness. Correct? But you never ask, full of what? The mind is full of what? If you say full of thought, then there is not sati. Understand? Full of what? Yes.
I actually defined it as mind in the fullness of that moment. That means living in the...
That's why it still doesn't explain. Mind in fullness of that moment. What are you trying to tell me? Within that moment, you can also think, understand or not? Mind in fullness, full of thinking within that moment, understand
or not? You can't think if you're in the moment. How can you think? You are supposed to be...
You can be in the moment and think, understand or not? Because when you are in the moment without thought, then it's a different thing, understand or not? Mind in full of awareness, then you are without thought. Understand or not? That's why I say you never inquire. Full of what? When mind is full of awareness, it cannot have thought. It can only be aware. Understand or not? Understand or not? But that word is not used. Understand or not? Only subsequently, later teacher use them. Then they try to now incorporate them. Understand or not? That's why awareness become now a new word. Actually, the actual word is pure awareness, without thought. That is sati. But they go and confuse it with another Pali word, they say. It carries the meaning of remembrance, recollection. Understand? Then they say, sati has a lot to do with memory, recollection. Asana. So what is sati? I don't want to know the history. Asana. When I meditate, I understand. Because I can be with the moment without thought. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness without thought. That's why I say awareness before the knowing is sati. Asana. Awareness before the knowing. Is sati. Means what? You just aware. Why can't you be aware? Because you think a lot. Understand? You are so heedless. You are seldom aware. Within the moment, you have a lot of heedless thinking. You have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. The hindrance keep on arising. The restlessness of mind. That's why you can never be aware. Awareness before the knowing means what? The knowing is your thought, your aggregate of mind. Means before even feeling arise, before even perception arise, the label, the words, the views and opinion interfering. Understand not? It's just like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. Understand not? Can you understand that? In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. It's just that consciousness come out. The pure consciousness, which is the pure awareness before you input the content. Understand not? The pure seeing. Understand not? Without the word, without the labeling. Understand not? Without your conscious mind focusing. Understand not? Through memory to recall. Understand not? It's just a general awareness, spacious, aware, just aware. The moment your thought come out means you focus, recall to memory. And that is not sati anymore. Understand not? So when you want to understand what is sati, you need to have a very, very calm, silent mind. If your mind is not silent, the true nature cannot shine forth. The true mind cannot come out. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's aware within, or it's lost in thought. Understand not? Heedlessly lost in thought. And human being, because of your heedlessness and your delusion, you are constantly lost in thought. You seldom or hardly aware. Yes.
Then is it okay for me to think of the four foundations of mindfulness as the four foundations of awareness? Is that still correct?
You can say that also. It's no harm. But sati, they add in the word sampajana. Understand? So you're not only mindful, you must have clear comprehension of what you are mindful of. Understand? That's why the third one is different. The third category of cultivation is awareness with clear comprehension of what is going on. Understand? There is clarity. Then there is internally and externally. All this, slowly and slowly, you will understand as you cultivate. Before you cultivate, when you are not in that state, it's very difficult for you to use your rational thinking to understand. When you use thought, it's very difficult. That's why Miss Lee print out this one. It so happened the timing. I just sent out today. You have it with you, the sheet? Oh, they don't have. Do they have? You got photo stamp for them? Yes. Oh, you just came in on the because you were late. You refer to this one. And now you understand. What is the definition of awareness by J. Krishnamurti? Somebody read. Or Ing B. read.
Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is.
Okay, so can you understand or not? What is silent? Not don't talk, no. Silent is no chattering. Completely no chattering. No mental chattering means no talk. That is what awareness is. When you are silent, doesn't mean you're aware. No. Sometimes you can do a disciplined attention. No, you silent, no thought, but you have a thought inside there that discipline. No, I must be mindful. No, you gone already. That's why don't try to be mindful. Just silent. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. Why you want to be aware or try to be aware? Just like in the workshop, I hear this funny question that they ask. Who is aware? Aware of what? Ah, then you get caught already. You think awareness is a knowing, understand? That's why, who is aware? Aware of what? Very logical, isn't it? Logical or not? Because your sakayaditi is so strong. So if you have that sakayaditi, how can you be aware? The thought want to be aware, understand? That's why it is a focused attention. Focused attention means the thought want to be aware. The thought is still active behind the awareness. How can it be aware? Understand? The thought is trying to be silent. To be aware of what it wants to be aware. But the moment it wants to be aware of that thing, you are no longer aware. Understand? Awareness is just silent. Then choiceless means what? You don't go and make a choice. Understand? There is no decision behind what you are aware. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. Understand? It's just a consciousness, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. That consciousness just arises. Understand? Can you be aware of that consciousness, the pure consciousness, before you input the content? The trouble with you is, you are so fast, you know. Memory, you already say, flower, book, because you are so conditioned with your conditioned thinking. Understand? That's why you cannot see. In order to see, you must have this ability to be silent. Then you must have sati and samadhi. Otherwise, this aggregate of mind very faster come up. And you cannot do anything about it. Understand? So that's why sati, you read Krishnamurti, is awareness. And what is awareness? Krishnamurti says awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what? Of what is. What is what is? What is the reality before the labeling, understand? The actual thing, understand? Understand? Don't try to go and like develop a duality to react, understand? That's why choiceless observation of the reality of what is. What is means the isness of thing. You understand what is it? The isness of thing. What is? Is equal to the isness of things or the reality. Asana. Isness is like suchness, anasana. So this one is like suchness. That's why the Buddha is called the Tathata. The Tathagata, an expert in Tathata. Tathata is suchness. So the choiceless awareness or observation of what is, which is the isness of thing, the reality, is awareness. Yes, pass her the mic.
In one of my meditation on Thursday, I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, whether it's sati. I was I could hear that the talk you were talking, and I know there were the brothers and sisters in that around me, but there was this joy in me that I wasn't thinking, and I know that I wasn't. It was after the whole thing that I start to recollect back. I was so joyful.
Mm.
I know that there was you, Brother Teo, talking.
Yeah.
And then there are people around. But
there's that awareness.
Just that, and then nothing else.
Correct.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay, Sadhu. Because when you listen attentively, Sadhu, there is no interference from your thought, from your opinion, your view, your conditioning. You don't comment inside there. You just listen attentively. Means without reaction. That is what choiceless awareness is all about. But the moment you perceive or the mind cognizes, that is already the mind coming out of sati. But in her case, it's very good because she doesn't allow it to continue to think. Understand now? Means there is awareness. Then there is a perception of Brother Teo talking. Then all the vibration just go in. And if he wants to understand, he can understand. But he doesn't interfere with the talk. Means there is no view, opinion, or conditioning coming out of it. Means an open mind that just listens. No right, no wrong. That's how I find out whether it's the truth or not. Then I listen attentively without thought. That is very good sati or awareness. I go on to the quote, you understand, huh? Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. So what did Krishnamurti say? Problem will always exist where the activity of the self are dominant. You can understand that. Self is what? The ego, the I, the me, the egoic mind, which is your thought. So when there is sakayadity, delusion, self-delusion, then this thought becomes egoic. Means what? It has selfishness, it has emotion, it has fear. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. So, exactly like the Buddha is it. Problem will always exist where the activity of the self are dominant. When the evil roots are there. Because when there is this delusion, when you grasp to the form and mind thinking that is you, where there is the human being or the mental five aggregate, your mental form, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, any of these five, you grasp and cling to delusion, thinking that feeling is you. All these external form that you see, you can own them, you can possess them. Then thinking that all of the perception that you perceive and label become real, can be owned, can be possessed. Then all of your views and opinion you can also hold and own. Then all of the conscious thing that you become conscious of, you give meaning, grabs and cling. Suffering will follow you, the Buddha said. In short, in the first Noble Truth final summary, what did the Buddha say? The final summary of the first Noble Truth, what is it? The five grasping aggregate, upadana khandas, is dukkha anasana. So exactly the same. The thought is the five aggregate, the mental five aggregate. So problem will always exist, where the activity or the self are dominant. To be aware, which are and which are not the activity of the self, need what? Constant? Vigilant means what? Awareness, understand not? When the evil roots are there, when the self is there, the selfishness, the emotional negativity, the fear, understand not? The manifestation of that mental ego, you have to be aware. That's why vigilant, understand not? Constantly aware, like the Buddha said. The Buddha used constantly aware. That's why vigilant. Heedfulness is also called vigilant. Understand? So when you are constantly aware, then only you can do something about it. Otherwise, you cannot. It's so fast. Then what did Krishnamurti say? This vigilance is not what? Discipline attention, understand or not? Like just now I tell you, how you discipline? Huh? You know what is discipline or not? Huh? Like military, like that one. Huh? Fully disciplined. Huh? You must do that, you must do that, answer. You must note this, you must note that, answer. Not? Or you must meditate like that, answer. All this is discipline attention, answer. Not? Focus attention, answer. Not? But awareness has nothing to do with the thought, understand? Not? Who discipline? The thought want to discipline, understand? Not? The thought want to be aware, the thought want to maintain attention, understand? Not? And the thought, the worst thing is, want to meditate. And the meditator is so actively meditating. Now you can laugh. Huh? Last time you do and do and do, you don't know what is going on. So when you do that, what happened? You say, this vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Means that is not sati already. But an extensive awareness which is choiceless. So disciplined attention gives strength to what? To the self. Understand or not? Ah, let Mrs. Ho come in. Jennifer and her is here. Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah. Give her a chair. Try to get a chair for her. Huh? Sadhu. Huh? Come. Yeah. Yeah, come in. Yeah. Yeah. Just give her a chair. Huh? She needs a chair. Huh? Mrs. Ho, you can sit over here with Ching Hun. Huh? Yeah. Cheng Hun, this is the only lady older than you here, and Achai. Otherwise, you and Chai Tengui is the oldest. She just came back from the retreat with us. She has very great faith. What about the other lady? You need a chair? You need a chair? Ah, yes. Okay, they will get you a chair. Then give them the notes. Don't worry. Mrs. Ho, you can sit first. They will bring the other chair. Never mind, the dining chair, any of the chair will do. The one that my wife took, that one will do. The single sheet one, huh? Cheng Hun, you got? Cheng Hun, you got the single sheet? Okay. Okay, now we are going through what is sati, awareness. Never mind, it's okay now. We haven't really touched satipatthana yet, because we got a question, what is sati? They want to know what is sati or mindfulness. Okay, we will go through again. Awareness or sati is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is suchness, the isness of thing, the reality. Okay? Not a concept, not an idea. Not what you perceive to be. But what is means that reality. Silent means mentally silent. Not just you don't talk. Then choiceless awareness means no view, no opinion, no judgment, nothing. You don't go and decide. Don't go and discriminate. Don't go and create duality out of nothing. So awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of the truth. Or the reality. The other thing is, this word isness of thing or the reality is also the truth. The truth. When you see things as they are, the truth. That is what is. Okay. Then Jai Krishnamurti said, probable always exists where the activity of the self are dominant. Self, you know, is your atta, your misconception, your self-delusion that cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, both the physical and the mind, the physical form and the physical mind. You combine these two, it becomes the first aspect of the five aggregate you call a human being or a living being. When you attach and cling, there is this ego or personality that you create. That is Krishnamurti called the self. The moment you have the egoic mind, the self, then this is capable of selfishness, anasana, emotional negativity, fear through delusion. The three evil roots will arise. So that's why, like the Buddha, he said, problem will always exist where the activity of the self, which is the egoic mind or self-delusion, are dominant. Then he said, in order to be aware, which are and which are not the activity of the self, you need constant vigilance or constantly aware. Understand not? This vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Discipline means regimented, means through the thought you want to be aware. And through the thought you want to discipline yourself. This is how you meditate. This is how you know. This is how you do things. So all these are disciplined attention, means focus, not a general silent awareness. So if you understand that vigilance is not disciplined attention, but an extensive awareness which is choiceless, then you will develop the understanding of what sati is, awareness is. Then Krishnamurti go on to say, disciplined attention gives strength to what? The self, because the thought is involved, understand or not? The egoic mind is involved. So when you try to discipline, when you try to meditate with the thought, when you try to be aware, who is trying? The thought is trying, understand or not? And when the thought is there, you give energy to it, understand or not? So this will strengthen the self, the ego. Then what happened? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced. Understand? There is nobody inside there to be aware. Understand? The awareness is just a nature. Understand? The essence of mind, ever, ever mindful inside, ever, ever aware. It's just like who is aware of silence within nature. Middle of the night, when there is no more vibration, no more hearing consciousness. But there is a nature within you that can be aware of that silence, that stillness, the mind that doesn't chatter anymore, no more thought. Now, who is aware of that? It's not a condition arising consciousness, understand? But it's just the essence of mind that is aware, understand? Of silence. And that is your true nature, your true mind. But you never touch it. You seldom, hardly touch it. Even when you touch it momentarily, it's so fast, you couldn't recognize it. To you, you only know thought. That is the only instrument you have been using rampantly to live life. That's why you have a lot of problems. You cannot develop the ability to be aware. It's because when thought is so rampantly proliferating, you hardly got any space between thought. Remember that? Space between thought. Can remember? When you think and think and think continuously, so much so, you got no space. This space is very important. Space between thoughts. This is the second thought. This is the first thought. So this is the space between thought. When you have this space is what? Silent, peace, and tranquility leading to stillness. leading to stillness. When you are without thought, this is what you will experience. This space between thought, only the true cultivator of the way experience them, realize them, and they are so different. This is heedful living, constantly aware, ever mindful. So this is the part, if you cannot understand, because you never meditate until your mind is so quiet and so still, you can never understand what sati is. Sati can only be understood when you realize it. The moment the form and mind realize that, they will know what sati is. No need words, no need explanation. So the space between thought is very important. So awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced. Nor is it the outcome of what? What is written there? Practice. Who practice? The thought practice meditation. That's why there is no thought. You can train your mind because it's heedless. You train the heedless mind, the mundane mind. Then when that one sees, or no longer active, then the nature come out. The nature you don't practice. You don't try to practice to be aware. You can follow or not? Your true nature, your true mind is already aware. You only need to be silent and it come out. It's there already. Why must you practice to be aware? You understand? When you already have, you don't have to train, isn't it? You don't have to practice, isn't it? When you don't have, you have to train, you have to practice. The mundane mind is heedless, think a lot, restless, with all the heedless. That one you need to train. That's why you train the mundane mind. But when you develop sati or mindfulness, you don't go and practice. That's why the third way that the Buddha teach you, of the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, which is the mundane mind, the third way is what? Just aware, understand or not? Don't do anything. Then you return to the original state, then you realize the mind was already aware. And the moment it's aware, it is the silence, it is the peace, it's the tranquility, it's the stillness. So you don't try to be aware, you only have to understand that the moment I don't think, this thing is already there, understand or not? All the time there. But because you are clouded by thought, understand or not? Deluded by thought. Actively chasing after thought. Why? The meditator is the thought. So how can there be silent? Understand or not? Now you understand or not? That's why the real meditation is just silent. But initially you cannot be silent because the mundane mind got a lot of hindrance, understand or not? Got a lot of delusion, sakayaditi. That's why it think a lot. Because all of your conscious living, you use thought, understand or not? Since birth until now. Endlessly using thought. That's why they say the heedless one think a lot. And now you understand why you think a lot. It's only at the retreat, or you have done the cultivation in the past, then certain moment of your life, you can experience that, the silence. Then the moment you experience, you will know the difference between the heedless thinking mind and the heedful mind. That's why when you see the difference between the two, you will never become heedless anymore. One is so beautiful. The other one is full of suffering, problem, delusion, leading to all the fear, worry, sorrow, lamentation, anxiety, suffering, misery. All of the so-called problems of life. That's why Krishnamurti says, problem will always exist. Where the activity of the self, the ego, is there, you can never free. Then after that, what does Krishnamurti say? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. So you don't go and foolishly practice to be mindful. You only train your mundane mind to be quiet, understand or not? Anchor it to something so that it does not wander off, so that it can stay there, understand or not? So that it can be in the moment without thought. So when you anchor it, then you have to stabilize it, understand or not? Through what? Just through awareness, understand or not? The mind can only do one thing at a time. If you think a lot, you cannot even stop the thinking, then how can you train the mundane mind, understand or not? So you have to anchor it to something. Then you say, okay, now don't run. Huh? Just aware of in and out breath. Ask that mundane mind to follow this flow, understand or not? Until one day, it listens to you because it realizes if it listens to you, he is very peaceful, understand or not? If it don't listen to you, he is very heedless, understand or not? This is the beginning. That's why I say the moment you can train your mind to be aware, that is only the beginning of meditation. And now you understand what I mean. Last time you cannot understand. You mean all the retreat, I come back, I still haven't started meditation. You haven't started. Because you cannot understand what the tea is. That's not enough. So now you can laugh. Because after you have developed the understanding, really, you can laugh, really. Because heedlessness is like that. The mundane mind, you cannot differentiate between the two. Your true mind and the thinking mind and the mundane mind. And the deluded sakkayaditti mind. Understand? With a lot of self-delusion. Then what else did Krishnamurti say? Awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, nor is it the outcome of practice. It is, what is the word? What is understanding? Wisdom, understand? Understand what thought is, understand? Understand what? The whole content of the problem that thought has created, understand? So content of consciousness means the hidden as well as the superficial, understand? You know what is the hidden or not? Huh? What is the hidden? The hidden is your subconscious and unconscious, understand? That one you cannot see. Whereas superficial is the conscious mind. Understand? So you have to develop the whole understanding of the whole content of that so-called thought, which is your so-called problem. When you grasp and cling deludedly to the five aggregate of form and mind, they become grasping aggregates, suffering arise. So your whole of suffering or problem, the whole content of it, both the hidden and the superficial, you must develop the understanding of it. That's how you do it. The surface must be understood for the hidden to show itself. Clear or not? Yeah? The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is what? When the chattering is still going on, you want to meditate. Understand or not? That fellow has to be quiet. Then there is sati and samadhi. And then only you can meditate. Otherwise, the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi, how to come out? Understand or not? Sati is what? Just silent awareness. Samadhi is the stability of it. Understand or not? This one also don't have, you want to meditate. So who meditate? The thought meditate. Understand or not? The spiritual faculty not there, you want to meditate. That's why you are wasting your time. And thought-based, labor after labor. The next word, like it best, he tell you what verbalization is all about. So I read again. The surface must be understood for the hidden to show itself. The hidden cannot be exposed if the surface mind is not quiet. That's why you have to be really, really silent. The whole process is not what? Read louder. The whole of this process of understanding the thought is nothing to do with the word, verbal, understand or not? Nor is it a matter of experience. Experience is also from the thought, understand or not? Who experience? The thought experience, understand or not? Pleasant, unpleasant, understand or not? Nice, not nice. Awareness doesn't experience anything. Awareness, no mental state one, understand or not? No like, no dislike one, understand or not? the experiencing come from the mundane mind, understand not? So, the next one is what? Verbalization indicate what? Somehow go and note, rising, fall. It make your mind dull, understand not? Understand not? But if you know how to, like chanting, that is different, understand not? The vibration come out, the awareness is aware of it, understand not? Not the thought noting another thought, understand not? When you aware of the thought, it's a different thing, there is the T, understand not? Thought will arise upon contact, it trigger off. Then there is awareness. It can be with the moment of contact, understand not? Then it can be with the moment of the arising of that consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. You can be with that consciousness. And then how the mind move inside that? You can be with the moment to be aware of all. That's why sati can see thought. Sati can see all the aggregates of thought. But thought cannot see awareness. So this one is a very important understanding. Because Krishnamurti said, verbalization indicates dullness of mind. And experience being what? Cumulative means what? Memory. You accumulate. Understand not? That's why Mahayana say the second noble truth is accumulation. Kuji. Understand not? He never say cause of suffering. He said you continue to accumulate suffering. Understand not? There is accumulation. So accumulation, experience being cumulative makes for repetition. Understand not? You know why? When you accumulate as memory, this is your downfall. You cannot see that it's just a thought that you retrieve through memory. And then it will condition your craving, your positive and negative craving. Because you have that experience, okay? Let's say nice food or beautiful experience, meditative experience. Then what happened? Next time when you do meditation or you eat something, you want to compare. Understand? You want to measure through what? Memory. Oh, last time that shop very nice. Or, my last meditation was so beautiful. Then you make a wish. How nice if I can repeat that experience. Then your meditation become what? Good and bad meditation. Then what are you doing? Then where is heedfulness? Where is the training? Then where is the Noble Eightfold Path? That's why you lost your focus. Understand? Where you got distracted by that very peaceful, calm state, that experience. That's why he said, experience being cumulative makes for repetitiveness. You want it repeated. Understand? Understand? That's how you develop habit. Understand? That's how you get into delusion. That's how you become miserable. When things don't go your way, when you cannot get it, when you cannot get what you want. Suffering is the result. And that is the first noble truth. Understand? And you still happily playing with it. Understand? Thinking you have a lot of great. I want to meditate until I get that state. Understand? So now you start to understand why all this is actually foolishness, isn't it? Delusion, isn't it? The next line is what? Awareness is not a matter of what? You cannot determine to be aware. No. Who determine? The thought determine, understand not? For purposive direction is resistant, understand not? The thought direct means you want things your way, understand not? That's why you resist. That's why I say you have to accord and flow. Meditation is not about resisting anything, understand not? You just relax and silent. Accord and flow and be with the moment. Then you will understand. Which tends towards exclusiveness. Means what? The egoic mind want that. Answer. Oh, me, I can do this. Very exclusive. Answer. Oh, I already improved. My meditation is already like that. All this is the thought. Answer. So that's why when you determine, then there is a direction. Answer. There is a goal where you want to walk towards it. That's why the moment you want to be an arahant, you dead already, understand? Because the becoming kill you, understand? Who want to become? The thought want to become, understand? And becoming is craving as well. The moment you have craving, you cannot realize the enlightenment as well. So don't try to become anything. Just silent and sincerely and patiently counting. Then you will awaken. The moment the mundane mind awaken and realize itself and cease, that is wisdom. And when wisdom arises, there is no more delusion. That's why you see things as they are. You awaken to the universal characteristic, and there is no more delusion. And then thought has got no more power over you. Understand? Then you see things as they are, which is beyond thought, beyond time. Understand? Otherwise, you continuously use thought, which is psychological time. That's why you are trapped in time. Understand? Trapped in the field of thought. Okay? Then next one is what? Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. In this awareness, what happened? The problem unroll itself. Understand? I use the word unfold itself. Understand? When you are just silent and aware, the phenomena will tell you the story. You will understand. The awareness without thought will awaken to it and understand what it is. That's why you will understand how, without word one, how contact trigger of consciousness. Not only consciousness, within that content, when you put in there is also feeling. Simultaneously they arise. You will come to know that, not through the textbook, the one-dimensional dependent origination. Oh, every time upon contact, Buddha say feeling arise, no, look for feeling. And now you laugh so loud. Like the physics experiment, upon contact, consciousness come to be. The mind become conscious first. And then within there, the content of consciousness, and then only that feeling all start to move and become craving because of sakayadity. Because there is no wisdom. No yoniso manasikara. You got a yoniso manasikara. So this is how living being get into trouble. Understand now? So when you understand this, the whole mystery like slowly, slowly unroll itself. Understand now? Then you start to understand. That's why when you develop the silent mind, don't try to know anything. When you meditate, don't try to know it. Don't try to even say, is this sati? Is this anicchang? Understand now? Is it what the Buddha meant by anatta? After the meditation, you can reflect and connect. But when you are doing it, never, never do that as well. If you do that, means what? The thought try to come in through the back door and tell you all these things as well. Who says anicchang? Your thought. That's why Dhamma-based, thought-based, will have all this. Oh, I realize already. This is what the book say. This is what the Buddha say as well. Yeah, you can ask. There is some truth in it. There is some truth in it. Yes. When you meditate, don't read anything. There is some truth in that statement. But it doesn't apply to everybody. There are some people from the past. If they read, the moment they read truth, they awaken straight away. It doesn't mean you cannot read. But you read and don't carry the information in your brain. Understand? When you meditate, have an open mind. That's why choiceless awareness. Don't in the meditation. Oh, I remember that textbook say, the Buddha say, you finish already. Actually, it's not the Buddha or the textbook. Your thought say. And you cannot see your thought. You somehow say you got sati. And you think you have a lot of great meditators. I've been meditating 20, 30 years, no, 40 years. No. Don't come and tell me all this. A more crude word, bullshit, is it? But actually, he cannot see his own thought. He keep on quoting the book, the text. Actually, it's the thought that quote. Because when you cannot see your own thought, you get deluded. Yeah, Chai, yes. Okay. Wait. Use the mic. The rest can hear.
Breathing. Or heartbeat, we don't have to think about it. Like it go, as it is. Or when we say subconsciously, or when we say voluntary or involuntary action, how do you
you talk about voluntary and involuntary action.
Yeah.
Understand? So you ask yourself, the question is, what is action? Yeah? What is action? Action is the form am I do something, correct or not? Through the thought. Understand? Voluntary means what?
Means
there is a will. No, there is a will. Spontaneous, you don't think. Understand not? There are three things. Voluntary and involuntary. Not involuntary. Involuntary. The other one is spontaneous. There are three. Because you are in the field of thought, you only got two. You study biology. Yeah. Voluntary action is what? You have a will, input. You want to do that. I want to come out, voluntary, I come out, I walk. But the biological experiment, you put your leg out, then the biology teacher uses a rubber hammer, knock here, poof, automatic, involuntarily, it reacts. That one got nothing to do with thought. That one is from your physical, the response, it just moves. That is involuntary action. That's all. Then voluntary action is through your will. The third one is with wisdom. Spontaneous action. No will involved. No desire. No craving. Understand? No pre-planning. Understand? No, like, check with the memory. Do or don't do. Like that better or like that? If you do like that, you don't have wisdom. If you got wisdom, you don't think one. Understand? You don't consider one. You consider and think is initially when the Buddha taught the Kalama Sutta, understand, to the Kalamas. He said, whatever people teach you to do, you have to check. If I do, does it harm myself? Does it harm others? And that one you use thought to develop the understanding. And then you decide to do or not. Then if it's the truth, if it doesn't hurt you and hurt others, then you do. And when you do, then you awaken already. You do things spontaneous already. You don't think already. But the thought is always selfish and egoic. Understand? That's why that day, in the Thursday class, was it Sister Liana? Somebody told me, she do things spontaneous already. In the office, there was one colleague who like, earlier on have a misunderstanding. The colleague thought, she was the one that did the evaluation for his whatever review. You know, in the government department, there's a review. So, appraiser. So, he not happy, because didn't get a good appraiser. Anyway. Then later on, I think he came to know that it was not Ng Bi who do the appraiser. But somehow that day after the retreat, she brought some this strawberry, he put in the office and give it. Then his table is near the photostat machine or storeroom. Then this person, this colleague, walked by to the store. Then spontaneously she just talked to him. She said, there are some strawberry that I brought from Cameron. You can have a share or you can have a try. It is quite nice. Surprisingly, he was very friendly. Then at that time, Ng Bi didn't feel anything. But later on when she was on her own, then with the awareness, she realized, she went there spontaneously. If she had thought about it, she would not approach this person. But there is already the memory saying, this person doesn't like me anymore. Have some misunderstanding already. Then when she recall and reflect, she smiled because suddenly this person no longer like before so unfriendly. She is already like can respond with such pleasantness and already so different. This is the difference between spontaneous and the one with the thought that plan to approach. You are not natural one, understand? People can see, but that planning comes from the thought, and thought is always selfish and egoic before you become enlightened, understand? That's why before you become enlightened, try not to use so much thought. When you straighten your view already, then you can use thought. Otherwise, thought is very dangerous. That's why Bhayan Kathy asks you to check. Every time question the thought, is it true? Are you sure it's absolutely true? you sure say true one. And then the third question, you got corner already. What happened when you think that thought? Oh, I'm miserable. Without that thought, how are you? Oh, before that thought, beautiful. And then you realize, all these thoughts that make you unhappy, miserable, fearful, selfish, with all the evil root, they are all wrong thought. Understand? That's why the Buddha say, Noble Eightfold Path, you must have right thought. Understand? But how to arise right thought? The user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, how can it be right thought? Understand? If user of thought is deluded, thought will be deluded. Understand? That's why you must arise the right effort to cultivate virtue, goodness, kindness, to arise the right thought, to straighten your view, to understand the right view that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. Otherwise, without that straightening of view, that right view, your thought will always be wrong thought. Understand? You don't listen to her habit. She's talking about habitual tendency. Here already tell you, habit is what? Memory. Because you accumulate experiences. Experiences that you like become your habit. Experiences that you don't like also become your habit. That's why you have like and dislike. Immediately you see something, you react already. Immediately you hear something, you react already. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought, same. Why you react? Because you have become so heedless until it becomes so habitual. And habitual tendency is what? No need to think, also react. But you have already developed this, what they call, very, very strong habitual tendency to do things. That's why when you hear something from your wife, especially married couple, straight away you react. I know what you want to say already, enough. or your son, your children, understand? Because it has become so habitual, understand? Every time you scold them using the same word, understand? Told you not to do, you still want to do. Mommy, papa, enough. So what? Because you are not conscious and aware at that time. The habitual tendency take over through what? Your anger, your unhappiness. The last time you have seen this and you are really very unhappy with them. So you already give it a thought. Then you accumulate all this unhappy thought. And then it become what? Anusaya, latent tendency. No condition, don't come out. Got condition, like machine gun, brrr, come out already. No need to think one. That one, what word also already memorized inside long time ago. You think you're very good. You also like that one. Oh, then he can quote some more. No? Why? Because we can think and think and think and accumulate. And then bottle out. And this is called latent tendency. Waiting to be erupt when there is condition. So human beings do a lot of this type of thing. Can follow? Okay. Thank you. Pass the mic back. I think we finish off this one. Awareness. Okay, in this awareness, the problem unfolds itself, either unroll or unfold itself. And thus it is fully and completely understood. Understand not? No more fragmented. Understand not? No more only this fragment, that fragment. The thought is fragmented, limited. Thought cannot see the totality, the overall. Thought cannot develop wisdom and understanding. Thought can become what they call cunning, smart, understand? Or they call intelligent in inverted comma, understand? Means intellectual. Thought can be very intellectual, understand? But they don't have wisdom. Thought cannot develop wisdom. Thought can develop knowledge, understanding, very intellect. Did you miss out something there? How come A understood one? All the other words missing. Was it another? No, there are some words missing. You got the computer or not? Huh? You go and check the computer and then write it there, huh? So that people have the notes. Huh? Then we skip that line first. Huh? There are some words missing. Huh? We wait for... Come. Read it out. Lend me your copy. Well, luckily, Miss Lee, no need already. Monica got print. Oh, very good. A problem is never solved. Write down, on its own level. The whole thing missed out, Miss Lee. Miss Lee, somebody go and call her. So you go and call her. That's why this one, something is missing. That's why sometimes when you print from the computer, you have to be very careful. So I read again. Oh, thanks, Monica. Very good. A problem is never solved. Write down. A problem is never solved. On its own level, semicolon, being complex. It must be understood. Then continue in its total process. We wait for Miss Lee to come back. Those who don't have pen can borrow mine. Anybody need this pen? Everybody got pen. Oh, very good, this class. Okay, I read again. A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. Got it? Got it, I repeat one more time, A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. So that's why I told you just now, you cannot have a fragmented solution to spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding needs the total understanding of the whole process. Means the whole of that thought and its content. It cannot be fragmented. It cannot be at the fragmented level where thought analyzes things. Understand now? Or the way thought look at things. Because thought only look at things from the logical side, understand? From knowledge, from intellect. That's why I used to tell you, remember? Whatever that is logical, may not be the truth. It's always the opposite. Come, I return to you. Thanks, Monica. Oh, very good. You print this out. Oh, you all nowadays so fast. My email just sent out just now about 1 o'clock. See, these are the people very keen on. They straight away print it out. Because this Krishnamurti code, I tell you, if I don't explain, nobody understand, I tell you. You understand? If I don't explain this to you, you go back and try to reflect, contemplate, and you go and think. I think if you can get 10%, you are very good. Very, very good. But after I explain, you can, at the intellectual knowledge level, develop very high degree of understanding. And that will stabilize your base. Then when you meditate, you can awaken very fast. Because when you have that base already, with the open mind, the moment you see that truth, straight away it connect to what you have reflected and contemplated. But you have understood the process, and then the whole thing just like arise, and you just like awaken. Oh, that's what Krishnamurti meant, because you have seen it, understand not, in the true awareness itself, understand not. Means you realize this truth, no more a theory, understand not. And you will keep on arising this type of awakening. Because when your contemplative understanding of Dhamma is very stable, because this is straightening your view, you know. Through all this understanding, what will happen to you? You're no longer deluded by thought-based meditation, isn't it? The ego, all this, you're very clear already, isn't it? Unknowingly, it slowly develop the stability, then you start to change the way you live life, the way you think, the way you approach things, and the way you become aware of things, understand not? You no longer like before, no. The thought try to be aware, no more. You just develop the understanding to train your mind to just silent, understand not? Understand not? Silent means what? If it's still heedless, then decondition it through the mind-sweeping method, then radiate metta. Then after that, anapanasati, to anchor it, to stabilize it, or chanting, or rising, falling, or whatever skillful means. Then after that, when it become already stable, you just silence your mind in meditation, so that this mindfulness become more and more stable, more and more stable, until it become samadhi. Then you can use that to meditate. Anasara. I got ready, because Sister Monica was able to. She also printed out one, so we read to them. So no need to photo stat already. No need. Anna. Maybe the Tuesday class and Thursday class. You make sure it's the correct copy. Then only go ahead and photo stat. Then you all can pass to Stephanie or Sui An. They will use the Kayanamita fund to reimburse you for whatever cost. So if you want to do some what they call merits, you call them, you photostat, then you say, this amount I donate to Kayanamita fund earmarked for the printing of this J. Krishnamurti code. Then it will also serve everybody. Okay? So Tuesday class is Stephanie, Thursday class is Brother Sian. These are very good quotes. One copy may be 4 cents, but the wholesomeness is beyond your imagination, I tell you. Because this understanding, whoever can penetrate, their mind will be transformed. Okay, I read on. A problem is never solved on its own level. Understand not? Means not in the fragmented way, understand not? Being complex or complicated, it must be understood in its total process. Understand not? Means the whole of the content within that thought, the way of thought, the power of thought to divide, to delude, to develop the egoic mind, sakkaya ditti, the selfishness, everything, need to be understood. Understand not? And you can understand it without reacting to it. You just silent with a choiceless effort. Then you see how the mind stir, how the habitual tendency come out. Then how craving come to be, how attachment come to be, then how it condition grasping, leading to all the suffering. You start to see. Then you start to see the dependent origination. Then you start to see the Four Noble Truths. Then you start to see the Three Evil Roots, the Five Mental Hindrances, the Five Spirits. Everything within your sati. That is the real meditation, understand now. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, especially under Dhammanupassana, first category is awareness of five hindrances, followed by the five aggregates of form and mind. Remember? Then the six internal sense bases, six external, then the 18 sense run. Then after that, you develop the awareness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Well, by then, you are very near to enlightenment. The factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then after that, you will become mindful of the Four Noble Truths. You will see them all. Then all the three turning, you will do. That's how your meditation can take off. Understand now? So the whole of the totality of that thought process and its content, you need to develop the understanding. Okay, then I read on. To try to solve a problem on only one level, whether physically or psychologically, leads to further conflict and confusion. Anasana. You cannot do it like that, in a fragmented way. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, which is sati. This passive awareness, not an active one. No. Active one is the thought coming in already, understand? The thought try to interfere already. Which reveals its total process. Means the whole of happening. You see it happening. You see how the mundane mind condition out. How upon contact, consciousness come to be. No more a theory, understand? In the meditation itself, when you are silent, you witness this arising. Then the dependent origin, no more a theory, no, upon contact feeling arise. You really feel it inside the meditation, at the sense basis itself. Where your awareness is always within the moment. It can only be aware of what is within the moment. It's not a thought. Thought can project. Thought can project into the future. Thought can recall the past. That's why thought is never in the moment. Thought is of the past. Last until like that only, you didn't own the power, that's why. It's not to say they boycott you. This remind you next time, be heedful. Heedful of what? Because you know this recording is important. So, true heedfulness means what? You are very mindful and aware that this thing has to be set up correctly. It's just like meditation. You see the importance of it, you will devote your time and no more excuse. Never mind, we can learn. You know why I know? Not I got psychic, no. I got no psychic. It happened before. That's why if you don't go through it, like meditation, you can never understand all this. Like now, I can tell you, didn't own power. Why? I no need to look at it also. Why? Because I went through all this. I understand all this. Just like meditation. Why I can tell you is like that? It's because I have gone through. Otherwise, how can I tell you? If I don't know, please, I will tell you I don't know. If it's that field is out of my specialty or understanding, I will tell you I don't know. I cannot know. But if I dare to tell you, means I have done it before. There is understanding behind. Okay? So, all this you can learn, understand? So now we come back to the quote on sati or awareness. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness, understand? Alertness is what? Attention. No thought, understand? Just aware. Then what happened? Which reveals its total process. Like I told you just now, if you just silent and aware in the meditation, the silent mind, then every moment of consciousness, you witness them inside there, you know, not through the theory. You know. Upon contact, what happened? Have an open mind. Don't go and recall the book or Paticca Samuppada say, upon contact, feeling arrived. Then look for feeling. Who look? The thought look. That's why you cannot meditate. You meditate like that, you use a very crude word. You cannot con and deceive by your thought. But you look for that insight. You look for that, the so-called Dhamma. Understand? And who look? The thought look. And you will be misled. Then you think that is the Dhamma. You think, oh, you see anicca. Oh, you see dependent originate. Really, like, upon contact, feeling arrive. Your thought look for feeling, and you feel with your thought. And you say, oh, upon contact, feeling arrive. People tell you upon contact, consciousness also arrive. No. You wrong. You meditate with the text, with the thought. But if you very sure in the silent mind, what happened, no need word one. What you say also, what I realize inside is different. Upon contact, so many things happen, he can tell you. That is the real one. They're all the content of consciousness. No need to read book one. The moment you mention, you say, yes, got this one. Understand? Like Hui Ning, illiterate, don't know any words. But the moment you say, he understands. Why? Well, he has realized it in the meditation. So this is what Krishnamurti mean by awareness. There must be an awareness in order to have this total understanding. Well, thought cannot understand. Then this awareness is passive alertness or attention, which reveals its total process. Well, when you are silent, you understand what is happening. Well, you are aware of what is happening. Understand? The whole phenomena will show it to you. What the dependent origination is all about. What this world is all about. What existence is all about. What life is all about. What phenomena is all about. Not from the word. When you just silent, you understand everything. That's why I say, you don't have to know when you meditate. You just silent and meditate. Sincerely with the faith. Then when the understanding arise, the form and mind will know one. You will awaken to it one, but there is no thought behind. But the awareness through the direct see awaken to it. Then that understanding is the wisdom, the intelligence, the panya. And through that, you straighten your view and you live with that understanding. That's how after that, this form and mind does not suffer anymore. Understand? No more delusion. That's why no more suffering. Okay, now can follow. Chui, thank you for the question. Very good question. So we finish. Notes also finish. This one also finish. Now clearer now. Okay, we got another 1 hour. We go into the Satipatthana Sutta. Otherwise, we didn't cover anything like last week. We were at page. Which page were we? Good. Okay. Page 35. Okay. The four kind of clear comprehension. Okay. Maybe we go back one more. Two more paragraphs above. The mode of deportation. This one. The Buddha talks about the four posture. And further, O Bhikkhu, when he is going, a Bhikkhu understands, I'm going. When he is standing, he understands, I'm standing. When he is sitting, he understands, I am sitting. When he is lying down, he understands, I'm lying down. Or just as his body is disposed, he understands it. You see, this part, I don't think the Buddha say it this way. The Buddha will never say it this way. But I don't know what the Pali say. As far as I know, I will give you my understanding. You see, this one, going means walking. When walking, he never say when he is walking. When walking, a bhikkhu understand through awareness, is aware, understand now. When standing, he or the bhikkhu understand, through awareness. The awareness is aware of standing, the awareness is aware of walking, means what? Body and mind move as one, understand now. Awareness and body move as one. awareness and the whole standing posture is one. Understand? No? That's why when standing, the mind is aware. While walking, the mind is aware. Understand? No? Means body and mind as one. Means your awareness is with your whole kaya. Understand? No? Then there is no thought, isn't it? Where you can only be either aware or lost in thought. When you are aware of posture, you cannot think. Understand? No? When you are aware of your movement, you cannot think. But the trouble is, you hardly aware of your movement. Most of the time, where is your consciousness? Huh? Where is your consciousness? It's at the brain there. Correct or not? And what is your brain doing? A lot of memory there. Thought is respond to memory there. Then what happened? Your senses are mostly in front of your face. Understand or not? Which is just below your brain. That's why very near. That's why every time you see memory retrieve, understand? Then through your views and opinion, you react. So you are actively actually thinking, cognizing, thinking, reacting. Understand? That's why you become heedless. You seldom aware of your posture. When you are supposed to develop kaya nupasana, you know what you're supposed to do or not? Listen carefully. You're supposed to anchor your awareness, your sati that you have trained through anapanasati to your kaya. Understand now? Your kaya is always in the moment. Understand now? When you are with your kaya, you are not in thought. Understand now? You are aware, no thought. This is to slow down your thought. Understand now? Not slow down your action. Understand now? Understand now? So that you don't go and think, understand? Not? But to live life, you have to use your senses, please. You can only start and train in the retreat. Then slowly go back to daily life from the house, you train to go out. You don't be a hero. Brother Teo said, no thought, aware. You cross the road like that, you should die on it. Understand? Not? It is supposed to be a gradual training. Train until your sati becomes so stable, and then you don't worry. Understand not? Then you can be aware and yet you can use your senses. Understand not? And you use it spontaneously. You don't like before. See also kepo. Understand not? Hear also want to kepo. Then can get lost there some more. You see means see. Understand not? Then aware, then the mind will know what to do. Spontaneously you will move. That's why you can simultaneously be aware of the moving car. There is no thought. That's why the awareness, sati, can be internally and externally. Understand not? Internally, there is awareness of the sense basis. And there's an internal sixth sense basis. Then externally is the external sixth sense basis. That's why you can be aware of that form. Understand not? The mind can move with the form. Understand not? The car. Understand not? The physical phenomena, all the trees, the vibration. Like I tell you, the Char Kway Teow guy. Understand not? My mind can be like inside there, moving. Aware, no thought. That is externally, understand not? Internally and externally, not what they tell you in the workshop. I see also, I feel a little bit like, is that what is being shared? I say, that is very, very pitiful, understand not? But internally and externally, they admit they don't understand. Then different people give different idea of what is internally and what is externally. Because sati is sati, understand? You just have to do it, then you will know what is internal and external, understand? You cannot like make a guess, understand? When you make a guess means you're not sure. I'm not sure means you have to admit you're not sure. Understand? I then let people investigate and find out. But if you're not sure, you still want to share and teach, then you have to clarify. Otherwise, it can lead people astray, understand? Can follow now? If you're not sure, you say you're not sure, understand? Then it's okay, no harm. So, what I come to clearly understand is, it can be done, awareness, sati, understand? All the form, internally and externally. Internally is your own form and mind, understand? Your own physical form, internal sense basis and your movement, understand? Then externally is other people's movement, nature's movement. That's why you have the three types of phenomena: physical, mental nature's phenomena. And your mind can be aware of any of this. And within your own form and mind, the four foundations are there. Externally, the four foundations are also there. That's why it can be internally, externally, then later, internally and externally. Okay? Can follow? Yeah? Now show Mong Cha Cha, because the first time you hear this. But when you do your meditation, when you train your mind, when you develop your true daily mindfulness, you will understand what I say. Just like last time, you cannot understand what I say. Then now you can understand because you have done some form of meditation. And then you can laugh, understand? Like just now, Krishnamurti could. Now you can see very clearly how thought-based meditation cannot lead you to the understanding. That one has become clear now. Because the consciousness has actually progressed, improved, understand? And become more and more refined. So that's why you all have the energy to understand. Otherwise, you cannot, like before. Now you start to like make meaning of what I tried to tell you last time. Last time I keep on telling you, thought-based meditation, you just cannot understand. How can I don't use thought? I don't use thought, I'm not a human being. Then you keep on having this doubt. Or until you start to develop your own meditation, then you start to understand. But now the condition is the consciousness has become different. And the timing over these few years has actually, what they call, evolved. Until most of you can follow and can understand. That's why, as time goes by, if you really sincerely cultivate, your understanding will become much better, much better, much better. Then all this, you yourself will understand one. No need to ask anybody one. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang, means what? Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No need to ask anybody to confirm or prove, understand? No need to go and read up the textbook to see whether you got confirmation or not. Or check with some authority and say, is this right, is this wrong? If you need to do that, I can tell you very straight away, chances 99.99% is not the real thing. But the real thing, you will have no doubt on. But the Dhamma is pachetang. It's like that one. So sometimes when you already like have the understanding, miss a glimpse of it, not stable yet. At that time you still don't know. Understand? You still don't know that you have already insight into it. But the funny thing is, when you encounter a problem, you will know how to resolve it. You will know how to deal with it. At that time only you realize, you are different already. That one is inside you. But your understanding is not stable. You have not developed the wisdom and stability of understanding to explain what you have understood. So that's why you cannot tell people, you cannot share with people, you cannot even explain to people. But inside you, already clear. Understand? And you got no more doubt on, actually. You know what that thing is. But when people start to put into word, those who have already realize and stabilize that, the moment they explain and speak, that person will have a lot of joy because he has opened the Dhamma door. And anything related to that Dhamma understanding, he will understand very fast. No need explanation. The moment you speak the truth, the moment you explain that thing, he will understand. He or she will understand straight away. That's why Dhamma is pachetang. Means what? To be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else can understand. Only the wise one. Okay? So have faith. Don't doubt. Most important is the spiritual faculty. Then after that, just sincerely cultivate. Develop heedfulness. Develop the four foundations of mindfulness. Then cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Sooner or later, you will awaken. Because the Buddha already promised through Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Destined for enlightenment. Okay? Okay, we continue. So this four posture, and further, O bhikkhu, when walking, the mind is aware. When standing, the mind is aware. When sitting, the mind is aware. Anasana. When lying down, the mind is aware. Then in whatever way the body is disposed, the mind is aware. Thus, the bhikkhu live contemplating the body in the body. Internally. Anasana. Internally means you are aware of your four posture. Internally. Or he lives contemplating the body in the body externally, means external four posture of other beings. Or he lives contemplating body in body, internally and externally. Then he lives contemplating origination factors in the body, and he lives contemplating dissolution factors in the body, and he lives contemplating originating and dissolution within the body. Or indeed, the awareness is established with the understanding, not with the thought, with the understanding that this body exists to the extent necessary just for wisdom, not knowledge, and remembrance. Because when you are aware, you can recollect, you can recall. And he lives independent and clings on to naught in the world. Thus, O bhikkhu, a bhikkhu lives contemplating the body in the body. So this one now become clear. Then you move on further. The four kind of clear comprehension. This one you have to go back and practice or cultivate. Because here we don't have the time and the space. And we actually propose that you have 15-20 minutes of trying to do. But you go back and do. Then you ask me question, Sana. You don't go back and do. You got no question to ask, when I tell you. If you don't ask, means there is no condition to explain, because this was done by me 30 years ago. And I can never remember anything, because my brain is different. This form of mind, the brain is different. It's non-grasping. The moment I speak, the word is gone. I speak from the heart, because the condition come out, the Dhamma come out. If I speak from memory, I cannot share with you, I cannot teach. Because my memory is not like before. It cannot hold. There must be condition for it to retrieve and recall. That's why this mind can be so free. Otherwise, it's tua bu ing. Everything also want to remember, everything also want to hold on. Then you will have a lot of problem, a lot of thought. But because it's no longer grasping, all this memory is like computer. Information means what? Random access memory. When I need, access it. It can access anywhere. But yours is not random access memory. Yours is grasping memory. Then like that day at the Thursday class, want to rub the whiteboard, cannot rub now. What happened? Like computer. You want to delete the memory, the information, cannot, no. They say still in the, there's this, what, trash bin. After you delete, you thought gone, but retain in the recycle bin. You know what is recycle bin? It's like your subconscious, anasana. Your subconscious already whole, no. You say, I don't want to remember, I want to delete, this is wrong thought. But in the dream, it come out again. Like in the university, you still dream, you haven't passed your exam. Gonna. You still haven't completed your exam. Then some say, in the dream, I fail, I need to refer. How did it happen? Yeah, it's still in your subconscious. You haven't rooted it out. If you have rooted it out, it'll never appear again. So don't try to delete. Okay, MB got a question. Okay. Yeah.
Well, dear, the second paragraph, they already mentioned contemplating the body in the body internally, and then contemplating the body in the body externally. Why is it that they need to repeat the third time where they combine the two? Contemplating the body in the body, both internally and externally. The third time come up.
Okay, very good question. Who want to try? Who want to try? You understand English question or not? Eh? The Satipatthana always have this. Eh? Contemplating the body in the body internally. Eh? Or he live contemplating the body in the body externally. Yeah? Then the third one is what? Or he live contemplating body in the body internally and externally. Why you need to repeat it three times? Give it a try. Sochu, give it a try.
I think the third time is because this simultaneous contemplation is happening all the time. Happening
very
simultaneously.
Good. Very good, Satyo. Because this is real life happening, understand not? When you live life in daily life, you don't go and contemplate only internally, understand not? Then your senses are all shut down, understand not? Because when you inform on meditation, you do it internally, understand not? Understand not? When you come out into life, you have to do internal and external, understand not? That's why your awareness is always the inner, understand not? The awareness is your true mind, that is the inner awareness, understand not? And that awareness is alert, but passive, understand not? Not the kipo type, understand not? Not the condition type. That one is with understanding and wisdom and doesn't react on, understand not? That can accept things as they are, that can flow and echo on. So internally is already aware that anything that happened at the senses that trigger out the consciousness, it is aware. But this awareness can also go out, understand not? To have a general awareness of nature, like what we do in the retreat, understand not? Cameron Highland retreat. Remember? When you reflect and contemplate and silent, your nature is one with everything, understand not? Internally, externally is one. Understand? Then after that, as you move and live, you need to drive car, you need to walk around, and you need to know things. Understand not? So your awareness, instead of spacious general awareness that is the oneness, you suddenly use for living. Understand not? Use for living means what? Everything you see is with awareness, understand not? That's why the phenomenal world, you can be with it. You can be aware of physical body. Internally is yours. Other people, like I saw that Chakwe Teofalo, understand not? How he fried. Like my whole mind inside there, doing the frying. Oh, like I am like him, understand not? Inside his body. It's not me, it's the awareness that is aware of all this movement, understand not? Then the TV. It's the awareness that's aware of all the movement, understand not? There is no cognition, nothing. Then when the moving car, the awareness with the car, just like that, understand not? Then everything is like a flow, understand not? The swaying of the leaf, the vibration, the weather, everything. The mind is with it, understand not? Even hearing consciousness, the vibration, like the traffic. The mind is with it, understand not? This is for living, understand not? Specific awareness of phenomena internally and externally. And this is reality. Understand not? But when you are in the form of meditation, you have a general spacious awareness, which is the oneness. That's why you silence everything you don't know. Then you connect to the inner nature. And that stillness and the silence is the one that make you very sensitive. During that time, wherever you locate this mind, it's like magnified. You can understand a lot of things. Then distant vibration or sound, you want to be aware that nature can be aware. There is nobody inside there. And you will know one. It's just an awareness. It's a nature that can be with everything. The oneness and all things. This one you must go into the meditation. Then only you can understand. Okay? Yes. Pass to Liu. Yes.
Brother Teo,
yes.
I'd like to know the usage of the word contemplate
okay.
in these suttas.
Okay,
it's
okay.
used extensively.
Okay.
So far as the English language is concerned,
okay.
it indicates a lot of reflection.
I know.
A lot of thinking, choices to be made.
Good.
So is this equivalent to awareness?
Contemplation is different. That's why you look back the first lesson, the note. When I explain what is Taya Nupasana, understand? Vedana Nupasana. You see the big difference in the word. No? Vipassana don't have no, understand? But all the four foundations of mindfulness got no, then only pasana. Now I repeat, you listen. I have to rub the whiteboard. It's okay. You need to take a shot. No, no need. Okay. You remember this word? Vipassana. Vipassana got two words, isn't it? Vi plus passana. Okay, vi stand for the what? Three characteristics of nature. This is your anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. What is passana? To insight into. To insight. Into. So vipassana, you join the two words, is to insight into the three characteristics of nature. That's how you become awakened, enlightened. Anasana. So this one is vipassana. Anasana. The direct seeing. Anasana. No thought, just aware. No contemplation, nothing. The other one is what? Anusati. What is anusati? What is anusati? Reflection and contemplation. The example is what? Buddha nusati. Anasana. You reflect and contemplate on the virtue of the Buddha. Buddha nu sati. See? Then some what? Dhamma nu sati, Sangha nu sati. Then contemplation on death. Marana nu sati. Understand? So this one Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Okay? Then the third one is Marana. No sati. This is contemplation on death. On death. And then they got various type of no sati, which the Buddha teach. Then when it comes to four foundation of mindfulness, you realize the peculiarity. You know? This one, no, is here. Pasana is here. All the four foundation you have what? Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. What do they have at the back? It's not only pasana at all. No, then only pasana, no. Understand? So there are three things, no. Understand? using the kaya as a foundation of mindfulness, you reflect, contemplate, and develop the contemplative wisdom, which is the second turning wisdom. Understand not? Then only you insight into the characteristic of nature through your daily mindfulness. Understand not? That's why you have to constantly reflect and contemplate. Understand not? And each and every of these is vedana nu sati. Understand not? Means you have to contemplate first. Understand not? That's why without the second turning wisdom, if you don't stabilize it, then you go and do the third turning, chances is you don't have the base. Understand not? That's why even you have the condition, but you cannot understand because you did not reflect and contemplate deep enough into that Dhamma. Understand not? The base, you didn't prepare properly. It's just like you meet the Buddha also, you cannot recognize. Understand not? Where you expect the Buddha to be like that, understand not? According to what? Your thought, understand not? You never use your awareness, your nature to feel the energy and wisdom of the Buddha, understand not? You don't understand him through the awareness, understand not? So, when you do, without this contemplative wisdom that stabilizes your understanding before you go for the third turning, it is normally very, very much more difficult unless you have cultivated before in your past life, in your past existence. And then, one shot, you can bypass the contemplation. You can straight away, like Hui Ning, hear the Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling. Straight away, he become enlightened. Understand not? For most people, you have to go through the contemplative wisdom. So, contemplation and reflection is not sati, understand not? It's an inquiry. It's just like the first turning. Remember? First turning is what? Sutta maya panya. What is sutta? Huh? Sutta is what? Huh? What is sutta? Ah, discourse of the Buddha, isn't it? What is panya? Panya is wisdom. So wisdom born of hearing the sutta, understand not? So the first time you hear the Four Noble Truths, if you have the past cultivation, you will develop some form of wisdom, like Kondanya, he become a sotapan, understand not? Then later on, when the Buddha continue with the second discourse, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, but the first discourse is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Remember? The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is what they call the first sermon. Understand not? The turning of the Dhamma wheel. Dhammacakka means the Dhamma wheel. Chakka is wheel. Dhamma. So Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sutta, when the Buddha turned the Dhamma wheel, it talks about Four Noble Truths, the three turnings. Then when he goes into the second sutta, which is the most important, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, he talks about impermanence leading to suffering, leading to anatta, non-self or empty nature. The moment he spoke the sutta, all three become, all five ascetic become arahant. Why? Because this first sutta, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, prepare them to receive the second sutta. Understand not? If they have not heard the first one, which is Suttamaya Panya, they will not be able to develop the wisdom to penetrate the second sutta. Understand not? So that's why you have to go stage by stage, then you go in. Then when they reflect and contemplate on the words of the Buddha, they rejoice, understand not? Then the Buddha say, Kondanya is already enlightened. So then the other four not yet, understand not? But the moment he finished the second Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all five become arahant. It's because they have reflected and contemplated on this first turning. Then they have been with the Buddha for so long, understand not? That time was about 6 years, I think, or 6 years plus a bit. Then as this understanding stabilizes through the second turning, means when you reflect and contemplate on the words that the Buddha has proclaimed under the first turning, you start to stabilize your understanding. Understand now? Then when you stabilize them through the reflection and contemplation, you can assimilate them in there. Correct or not? So second turning is about, this one is first turning. Wisdom. Then second turning is about Sutamaya Panya. What is Sutamaya Panya? Cinta Maya Panya. Cinta Maya Panya. This is what Brother Liu wants to understand. So this one is the second turning wisdom. The Buddha said when you reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha has spoken, when you inquire deep into it, then this type of wisdom will arise. The second turning wisdom. Because as you reflect and contemplate, what happened? Your creative nature will allow you to understand. Understand now? Like the Buddha said, birth is suffering. When you reflect and inquire, why did the Buddha say that? To a lot of people, birth is not suffering. Looking forward to new moon, full moon, grandchildren. It's joy and happiness. But why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? That's why when you reflect and contemplate, means your creative mind will scan through the real happening, the reality in life. Then you scan through birth. How is the process? Especially lady who went through, they will know. Oh, really suffering. Because the period of pregnancy, the morning sickness, then all of the, what they call, problems that comes with it when there is complication and all those things. Then the birth process itself is full of suffering, understand? Then when the baby is born, it cries, understand? Then when there is any problem with the fetus or the mother, it can lead to a lot of suffering because when there is complication, like the baby, the head doesn't turn and not an easy delivery. So last time without cesarean, it's very difficult, understand? That's why you got Angulimala Sutta. When you recite, it's supposed to help in the birth process and all things. But nowadays with medical science, you can improve on it. Then you can deliver through cesarean and all those things. But like it or not, whatever that comes with birth, like the Buddha said, old age, sickness and death will follow there. And then you start to understand the deeper meaning of what the Buddha said, that birth is suffering. Then continue with the rest. The first noble truth reality, the eight type of condition that you, each and every individual who live long enough will have to confront. So when you reflect and contemplate into it, you develop a clearer understanding, a deeper understanding, then you stabilize your understanding as well. Then you assimilate it. And this will set the base for you to understand it clearly the next time you hear about it. Because you have better understanding already. And then you can go to the next level. Then after that, you meditate. If you meditate, you will go to the third turning, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. Means wisdom born of Bhavana. What is Bhavana? Meditation, meditative discipline. So this one always lead to awakening. So this is the third turning. Third turning wisdom. So if you have reflected and contemplate, you stabilize your understanding, then you assimilate it. These first two will prepare the base for you to receive truth. And then that time you meditate sincerely, confidently. When your spiritual faculties are there, complete, and you have the parami and the condition, you will awaken. You will insight into. Understand not? So now you understand. No contemplation, nothing to do with awareness. Understand not? Sati. It is the creative mind that is. It's not an active thinking. Understand not? Contemplation is not active thinking. It's you reflect, you inquire. Means you throw out the truth. Then you allow your silent, not really silent, the creative mind to scan through the words. Understand not? Then to recall through whatever life experience that you have. Like birth is suffering. Why? The inquiry, why? Then next one, how can I understand? And then you reflect on the process of birth, understand not? Means the mind recall through memory, understand not? And there is contemplation. Means there are thought involved, there are memory involved, but it's not active thinking, understand not? Understand not? You reflect and develop understanding through your creative nature, your creative mind. It's just like a musician, understand, or a very talented person. When are they most creative? When they are alone in a quiet setting, isn't it? Clear not? Then they can really reflect and contemplate and develop all those very unique music, understand not? But when they are in the midst of a lot of activity, they cannot be creative, understand not? They cannot reflect, they cannot contemplate, they cannot develop the type of creative mind to understand things. So this second turning is to have a good tranquil setting which is appropriate and conducive for you to do the reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. And the best time is retreat. I did a lot. Then at home, when you are alone, I just relax and walk. Sometimes in the garden, sometimes in the park, sometimes at home. I just have to ask one question. How can I let the living being understand this profound Dhamma? And then it will start to surface. Because I will start to reflect and contemplate on my experience of sharing. And then I will realize, as I scan through, then I realize all these people actually don't have the condition yet, because basic Dhamma also they don't have. The basic essential Dhamma also they haven't understood. That's why I reverse my whole teaching after that. And I keep on repeating all those essential Dhamma until it goes in. Until you all know what you all are doing. You do with understanding. So all this I have to straighten up your view and make you understand. What are the five hindrances? What are the spiritual faculties? And a lot of people who don't understand, they think I repeat and repeat and repeat. If I know you already have, I don't have to waste time. So now Thursday class, what we do? We got the transcript, you can read. If you don't read, sorry, no more instruction. We just start. Then meditation is half an hour. Now I got 1.5 hours for sharing. So now they are trying to get this whiteboard. If not, they will use the glass at the back. We will change the direction. I will go to the back where the sliding door is. Then they put white paper behind. Then I can write there. So that sharing will give understanding. So that when you have understanding, you do the meditation with understanding, then you progress very fast. Understand? So half an hour there should be good enough for you to meditate, to calm your mind down, to develop the silent mind, then listen attentively. Okay? Then here, Sunday and Tuesday class is more like active Dhamma sharing. The things that you need now, understand not? It goes more direct into the essential understanding to develop this four foundation of mindfulness cultivation. Understand not? So when you have sati and awareness, the cultivation is different now. You don't have to train your mind anymore. You just silent aware and insight into it. no more like anapanasati you train, no. And so on. All those is initially to train the mundane mind, the heedless mind. And so on. The true mind, no need to be trained. And so on. It's already silent and stillness. Some more you want to teach him how to get peace and silent. And so on. Your nature will laugh at you. No? You can train the mundane mind of yours. Don't come and train me. I'm already that state. But you cannot recognize the thing. That's not. That's why you lost over the eons and eons of evolution. You have actually lost hold of who you are, your original home. And you get so lost until you don't know how to come back. It's so alien to you. Understand? Actually, from here you come out last time. From the source, through this pure awareness, the first thought of ignorance stir and you come out. Those who went through the Surangama Sutta, they will understand. It's explained clearly there. Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay. What's the time now? 43 already. You got another 15 minutes. Okay, I tell you what. Maybe the four kind of clear comprehension. It's not four kind. Clear comprehension is more than that. It's not four kind. The four type of clear comprehension, correct. Because later on, you not only go into four posture, you go into daily mindfulness, which is sati. Then, sampajana is clear comprehension. Yeah, there are four types of clear comprehension. Okay, we just read through the last paragraph. And further, O bhikkhu, in going forward and in going backward, actually, it's not practicing. There's nothing to practice, understand? You have to develop clear comprehension. Then, in looking straight, looking away from the front, it's not a person. It's the awareness. Developing clear comprehension, then in bending, in stretching, the mind is aware. In wearing the shoulder cloth, this is already the what they call daily mindfulness. This is already the daily mindfulness, not the four kind of clear comprehension. The four kind of clear comprehension refer to something else. Because when you are mindful, you have to have this clear comprehension of four things. The first one is sincerity of purpose, followed by domain of meditation. Then the third clear comprehension is clear comprehension of suitability. Means the people, the place, and the time, locality. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. So this one means whatever activity you do in life, you have to develop awareness. So the first one is when you stand and when you move forward, understand or not necessarily walking, can be running or whatever, going forward, the mind is aware, understand or not. Then going backward, the mind is aware. So they cultivate clear comprehension of the four things that I mentioned. Then looking straight or looking away in front, there is awareness. The mind is aware. Then in bending, stretching, means the body and mind as one. Clearly comprehending. Then in wearing the shoulder cloth, the other two ropes, and holding the bat, is the bhikkhu developing clear comprehension. Yeah? There's nothing to practice, it's just aware. Then in regards to whatever that you eat, means while eating, drinking, chewing, not drunk, drinking, chewing and swallowing, is the bhikkhu developing clear comprehension. Then even while answering nature's call, like defecating, urinating, you can develop mindfulness. The mind is aware, fully aware. So in standing, sitting, sleeping, in walking. Walking, not waking, the spelling mistake again. In speaking, this one is very important. And in keeping silent. Oh, when you wake up. Okay, correct. Sorry. You are right, yes. Oh, in waking, correct. When you wake up, you are aware. Correct, sorry. So I thought it was a four posture. Because he says sitting, then after that, standing. Oh, walking earlier on got ready. So this one is waking. Ing B is correct, sorry. I make a slip here. So in sleeping, then while you wake up. In speaking means as you communicate or speak, or keeping silent. Is the bhikkhu developing awareness or cultivating awareness with clear comprehension? Does he live contemplating the body in the body internally? Then he repeat the whole thing. But here, the four types of clear comprehension they didn't describe. But in other sutta, I was though it was described. You all have to find out, because I don't really read sutta. But the fourth type of clear comprehension is whether sutta got or not, but I can tell you it's very useful. Just now I mentioned to you. Definitely have, otherwise the book don't write. Understand? Then when I read about it, I realized the fourth type of clear comprehension was very important. So that you can live life, understand? Otherwise, you sati alone is actually not easy. Not until you stabilize, you cannot develop the daily mindfulness. Because the daily mindfulness, you have to move internally, externally, and in between. You have to arise perception, you have to use the mundane mind. But not through the heedless way, understand? You use it with understanding, you use it with awareness. Then your mind moves very fast, very different. So that time, if you don't have clear comprehension of what you are doing, you can debate, you can fall. Like the first one, clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, means what? You develop all these four foundations of mindfulness. You are not greedy for power, understand? Means you are very sincere. You just want to develop the understanding so that you can awaken and be a blessing to all. And you will never debate to go and develop psychic power, to enrich yourself, to teach and make money and all those things. Understand? Different people do with different purpose. Understand? They think this is lucrative. Understand? Then they set up seminar classes and they charge people. Understand? Then some people do because they want to develop psychic ability, or special ability. Then after that, they want to develop that reputation and all those things. They want to become famous. So this will allow, not to say allow, this will cause deviation among practitioners if you don't have a clear comprehension of why you want to develop this training. So sincerity of purpose is very important. Then the second is domain of meditation. Means you are not so foolish as say, I can only meditate if I got a conducive place, or when I'm retired, when I can have more time to myself, or when I have this, what they call, special permission from my family, from my wife and all those things. When you don't understand the domain of meditation, you will have this type of delusion. So like the Buddha said, this type of meditation, which is a four foundation of mindfulness, can be done anywhere, any place, any time, under any posture, understand? Even in the midst of career, answering nature's call, understand? In the midst of living, while you walk, turn, bend, stretch, put on your whatever clothing, eating, and all those things, working, sleeping also, he said can, understand? That's why it can be 24-hour meditation. So when you understand that, the domain of meditation will not restrict you, understand? You can do anytime, any place, anywhere. In any locality. You don't have to wait, understand? Or procrastinate. So domain, clearly comprehending the domain of meditation is right, means you go to office, you can do. While working, you can do. While at home, doing your home cooking or household care, you can do. While looking after your grandchildren or your kid, you can do. While doing gardening, you can develop mindfulness. Understand? Clear comprehension of what is going on. You can silence your mind. While sleeping, you can meditate. So all these are possible. Then the third clear comprehension is of suitability. The most important time is now. Understand? Don't go and procrastinate, say, when I retire, I will go full time. When I got no more burden, I will go full time. When I have financial freedom, I will go full time. All this is, you are actually justifying your thoughts, idea of delaying it. Understand? So the most important people are those that are here. Understand? If like now, if I don't have clear comprehension, then my mind go and think, "Ayo, these people not serious. I might as well go and teach there." Means what? I lost in thought, understand? Because like it or not, we already decide and have a class. Whether you are serious or not serious, my duty is to share, understand? After that, no more. Whether you accept, you agree, don't agree, you do or what, nothing to do with this nature, understand? It's up to you, your life. So the most important living beings are those that are here, even those up there, understand? So the time, the people, and the place. The most important place is this Wuping Jing Se now, understand? I cannot be like telling you, wow, if we can have a nicer place where got aircon, like our Thursday class, Tuesday class will be better, means I don't understand. Wuping Jing Se is Wuping Jing Se, understand? No aircon has its benefit, understand? You can meditate under this condition and understand that then you go to an aircon place, you will absorb more, you will do better, understand? Like badminton, you can become very good in open air. You go stadium, you should beat them all, understand? I remember last time, with the wind everything, you can adjust your game. So we go to the stadium where there is no open air corner, enclosed or not. Wow, you play so well because you're short. You can really, really manage it so well. Okay, the last one is clear comprehension, non-delusion. This one is very important. Where the 10 defilements of insight will come and trap you. You deludedly believe the 10 defilements of insight, then you become complacent. The word is complacent. So if you don't have that clear comprehension of this defilement of insight when they arise, you don't know. You will be trapped. Like those people who meditate and see light, become very peaceful and very quiet. See light is like nimitta and all those things. Then they get very excited and so on. So they thought something very good. Then they get astray. Then they ask certain teacher. Then certain teacher teach you how to do samatha meditation, one-pointedness, anasana, to develop all the energy field. And then he said, you can have psychic ability, you can do this, you can do that. Means you don't know the purpose of meditation. You don't know that this is a defilement, lead you astray, anasana. So clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose also gone. Clear comprehension of non-delusion also gone, anasana. And sometimes when you are very mindful, throughout the day you are very mindful, then you suddenly recall, oh, the book says the Arahant is continuously aware. Oh, you think you are Arahant already. Then you become complacent. You want to come out and teach, you want to come out and share. And that leads to deviation again. Because there is a period where you really become fully aware, continuous throughout the day. But that is just the beginning. You get trapped there, you become complacent, you will lose everything. Like Devadatta, after he has developed all those things, then the past coming, come and disturb him. Then he created Sikhism. Then after that, he lost all his jhana ability, the psychic ability. Then he become very miserable. So you cannot become complacent. While the going is tough, the tough get going. Don't become complacent. Oh, I have done it now. I think I can take a rest now. Then you become complacent. Okay? So it should be around 6 o'clock. Wow, still got 10 minutes. How come time like very slow? Is it 58 or 50? Oh, 55. Oh, means correct. Almost 6 o'clock. Okay, you got any more question? We stop here. So this clear comprehension and four posture, you go back and do. Then you ask me question. Otherwise, there is no condition for me to explain how to do. This one can be a very good topic. If you really go and do, you will have a lot of questions. I already taught you all the religious routine you have to develop. Then from your home, how you develop this daily mindfulness. While you pay respect to the Triple Gem. Then as you arise from your seat, you maintain mindfulness. Just like in the retreat, when you turn, move and walk upstairs. Be aware. Just aware, no need to think. Then when your hand move, aware. See, all the movement. Then put down. I can be aware of her externally, means I can be aware of what I do internally. That not the head at all. See. There is so many movement. These are all phenomenal, physical. There, she brought her hand. Then she smiled. All this you can be aware. What happened is, the moment you aware, like sisterly, the hand, okay? The moment you aware means what? When I can be aware of all this means what? I hardly any thought. Otherwise, I where got time to be aware? Three's leg move, Monica hand move. Then even the one folding the arm with the eye. You can be aware. And there is so much phenomena. Even the fan. Now, this consciousness, I answer. I have to be aware. Hello? Sorry about that. Okay. You got any more questions? If you don't have, I suggest you go back and try to do this four posture. Then the daily mindfulness is very important. How you go upstairs, how your hand move and open the door, how you push and how your leg go in. And how you see. How you observe phenomena. When you are silent, it's totally different. How can I see all this? Because I'm silent inside. Otherwise, I can speak and yet silent inside. Why? Because I am very skillful. I have been like that for the last 20 odd years. So you cannot overnight expect to be like me. You don't go and dream. Unless your past is very special, but also not so fast. Okay? You can be like per day, 5 minutes like me, you fatat already, I tell you, I sattu you already. Means you already progressing very well. But it can be done, because I did it in 2 weeks. Then I became more or less continuously aware throughout the day. Within 2 weeks, it came to me. It's not that difficult. You only need to have faith, the spiritual faculty. Yeah. Then how you go on the bed, how you lie down, how you silent. Well, now at the retreat, you have learned how to silent. Then you will know what silent is, and how it feels, your heartbeat, the vibration inside. That everything that your body has contact with the bed, you will be very surprised. You tell me what you feel. A lot of things happening. When you silent, everything become clear. When you think a lot, you hear nothing. You only listen to your thought, busy thinking. When you are silent, feel, don't think. A lot of things will happen inside. Okay. Then as you move very little bit in your bed, it's like magnified, the awareness. And how you pull your blanket or your comforter, and how you turn, you're fully aware. Then how the tactile consciousness condition you to scratch or do something. Fully aware. And you can decide whether to scratch or not to scratch, or silent and see what happens. See whether that craving, that condition you to scratch, is more powerful or your understanding and wisdom. And then when you can overpower that, the thought will start to lose power over you. Understand? Every time the thought condition you to do things. Yeah, I remember the first thing I tell the thought is, go toilet, the bladder, like very kanchong in the early morning. So normally you rush to the toilet. But the moment I aware upon conscious waking up in the early days, I straight away tell the thought, I decide, not you. I want to go, I go. No matter how tight the bladder is, like normal people cannot wait already, have to rush there. And when you rush there, because you are so affected by the tactile consciousness, you're totally not aware of how you come out and how you jump out the bed, how you go to the toilet also. You know. What you know is, you sit on the thing and you, then let go of everything. That is no more mindfulness. Means the thought is so powerful. I remember I tell the thought many times, I decide. Then I aware, I come out. Then I how I move, how I turn, how I rise, how I sit. Then how I stand. Then how I move my hand. Everything is body and mind as one. Then how my hand go and turn on the doorknob, push the door, go into the toilet. How I adjust the seat, sit down. Then the rest no need to describe. Actually, how you unzip and how you pull your back, all you fully aware. Then how you sit, relax, and decide when you want to mindfully do your business. Everything can be done. Then when you do with awareness, it's so different. There is nobody inside there to be aware. Then you realize everything is condition arising, causal phenomenon. The senses, the consciousness, the mind, they are in perfect harmony. And when you do that, there is no thought. You are so peaceful, so calm, so serene, so tranquil, full of silence. And that is life. Then you can understand so many things. The chipping of the bird, so sharp. Again, while I talk, understand? Why? Because inside is silent. Otherwise, if I keep on talking from memory, I have to remember and talk. I cannot be aware anymore. Understand not? That's why I cannot speak from memory anymore. You ask me to speak from memory, I cannot do it anymore. Understand not? Nothing will come out. Understand not? That's why when I come, I cannot prepare also. If I prepare, means what? Memory. I can only take down notes for reflection. Understand not? Contemplation, to remind me. So that my memory can retrieve, can connect. Because if these notes are not there, the short note, that's why I told Sister Lee to take short note, that's why this one can come out. If she don't take short note, I cannot remember what I talk. Sometimes I listen to the tape, I also laugh. I said, did I spoke all this? Why did I spoke all this? Most of the time, the living being at that time are not ready. And this Dhamma is not for you all. Then during the early day, I always laugh. Then I know already. They ask you to ask one. That's why the condition will arise, then it will speak. Okay, we better end. So now, we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then after that, invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed ones and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay. After this, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satukalina sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now we will do the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawat nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have all acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then we end.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo with three mindful bows to the Buddha. Yeah, little announcement. Can all please adjourn to behind because we got a thank you cake to Brother Teo for such a successful retreat recently.
Remember the coming Monday of